During our rainy stretches of late, I have spent time organizing and reorganizing gear that I plan to take to my cabin. A lot of it is stuff for working on the cabin itself. Cordless tools, fasteners of various sorts, my weed trimmer, and the stuff to make it work. A lot of the gear goes every time, and I really don't have to give it much thought, beyond not actually forgetting to take it. Other items are added or left behind as need dictates. Some of the items are survival-type items, and many of those are carried in my life jacket. Side note, do not get on a boat this summer without a life jacket of some sort. And don't consume alcohol while you're boating. Those two account for virtually all boating fatalities in Alaska each year. Don't be that person. Okay, side note over. I carry basic tools, extra meds, multiple ways to start a fire, signaling devices, things of that sort. One item I've been toting about is a bit larger, and it's kept in a small-sized Rubbermaid action packer. It's a mini-peak pyramid tent made by a company called Lux. It's 16 inches long by about 4 inches across and, according to the website, weighs 35 ounces. It's made to use a single pole in the middle. I've never actually slept in it, but I have used it as a cook tent on a couple of trips. It sheds wind and rain well. I carry it with me as a just-in-case survival shelter, the idea being if I had to put into shore and needed to get out of the weather, this would let me do it without taking up a lot of space and being very quick to pitch. Fact is, we are all about shelters every single day, in whatever form that might be. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Visitor Services Manager for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. For a lot of us in our day-to-day lives, shelter is two things: the clothes we have on and our homes we leave in the mornings and return to at night. Well, for most of us anyway. Shelter is a basic human need and is crucial for survival. Shelter provides security, personal safety, and protection from the weather. It is something we often take for granted, until we're without it. Again, on a daily basis, we most likely think of our homes, and they sure do provide all that and more. But when we are away from home, in the out-of-doors, we likely think more about our shelter, be it a cabin or a tent or something else entirely. I have, in the past, referenced the Boy Scout list of 7 survival priorities, in a particular order. Shelter is number 3 on that list, though in some ways it's number 1, in terms of practical skills. Number 1 is strictly psychological. Have a positive outlook and don't panic. Number 2 is serious medical issues, so if you don't have medical issues that require immediate attention, the first thing to deal with in any survival situation is number 3, shelter, and with good reason. Two of the cornerstones to staying alive in Alaska are staying warm and staying dry. A shelter helps you to get there. Also, shelter helps provide support for that psychological part as well, helping to foster a sense of belief that everything will work out if you're able to stay dry and stay warm. As I said, a shelter can be any number of things, the common denominator being that it gets you out of the elements and keeps you dry and warm. We probably don't think of our houses in terms of, gee, I've got a great shelter. For a lot of us, maybe if we think about the term shelter at all, we think about whatever tent we happen to be using when it's time to camp. I have covered tents on previous episodes, and the advice I have shared then still carries today, be it a bigger tent for your whole family or something small, like that pyramid tent I towed around for a just-in-case scenario. With regards to tents, get the best you can afford. Don't settle for a waterproof rating of less than 1,500 millimeters. Aluminum is better than fiberglass when it comes to poles. And make sure the fly goes all the way to the ground. If you have a few basic guidelines you hold to, you'll be just fine, irrespective of the size or intended use. Shelters pop up in a planning sort of way for me each year, at different points throughout the year. Right now the weather is good, and I'm looking at finalizing some things on my cabin, which I tend to think of more as a shelter than a house. Because I built it myself, there's something of a wait-and-see element to it, in terms of judging its long-term viability. So far, so good. It withstood the snow this winter. It's still standing and it's dry. I have my fingers crossed that it continues to chug along each year, staying exactly like that. I also start thinking about tents each summer and fall. Which ones will I take on my fall hunting trips and why? Some of that is determined by who's going and who's not, and how I plan to get there and where I'll be. I probably own more tents than I need. Okay, I definitely own more than I need. Don't judge me. Having a few to choose from makes it easier to select the right tent for the situation. At the end of the day, dry and warm are still the key factors. But if it's a premeditated shelter need, there can be other things to consider as well. As with anything, the right tool makes it work out a lot better. Probably there are some folks who really don't think about shelter except in terms of the emergency type. When mechanical malfunction, nature, human error, or an amalgam of reasons conspire to leave you temporarily in a tenuous situation. That's why I carry around that pyramid tent, just in case. We can still have man-made shelters we carry with us, such as small tents, but even more basic things will suffice for short periods, such as a tarp, a knife, a bit of cordage, paracord being one of the more popular such types. Space blankets, large plastic trash sacks, military ponchos, and simple poly tarps can all be fashioned into decent, serviceable shelters. It could be as crude and as simple as taking a blue tarp, wrapping it securely around you, and hunkering down in a low spot out of the wind and rain and riding it out. I have had friends who have been caught in bad weather while out and about and done just that for a night. Is it ideal? No, but it can work. Dry, warm. Again, with a bit of cordage of some sort and rocks, pegs, or trees to secure it to, you can get even a bit more elaborate than that, constructing various forms of lean-tos or A-frames, depending on what your materials and location allow for. Tarps are incredibly valuable and have so very many uses up here. They are reasonably waterproof, depending on the quality, and fairly inexpensive. They are also lightweight and can be folded to take up very little space. It's a fact that we often have them on hand anyway. I'm a big fan of Silnylon tarps. They cost just a bit more, or they can, but they're also a lot lighter and take up even less space. Two qualities that I'm really big on. So, what if you find yourself in a no cabin, no tent, no tarp situation? It might be time to seek out a natural shelter, and that can be one of a couple of things. It might be something you have to construct from materials on hand, or it might be an existing shelter, like a highly fortuitous rock formation, tree cavities, or even caves. If you can find something like this, it might require no modification at all. Climb in, hunker down, and you're good to go. A place for a fire is probably a good idea, if you can safely pull it off, and a place to lie down. But I'd stop short of putting up any family photos. No sense making any long-term plans. With regards to modifying potential shelters, I had two junior high students craft a really nice one a number of years ago from a large spruce that they found that had broken off at the base and was laying on its side. They used a small survival saw to cut branches from the underside of the tree to form a tunnel beneath it and along the trunk. They made sure not to cut branches that were supporting its weight, and they added branches to both sides to improve its ability to keep out of the weather. They also found another small, thick, dead section that they could pull across the front as a door. They cleared ground clutter and made it comfortable and reasonably clean. When they finished, it was an excellent example of finding an existing solution and modifying it just a bit to make it really useful. You can sometimes find outstanding existing shelters around Southwest Alaska, such as that one, that require very little modification. A tree such as that is a long way from a home, a cabin, or a tent. But, again, at all times, the end goal should be the same. Stay dry, stay warm. Shelters you construct of natural materials come in many forms and almost all make use of limbs, trees, fallen leaves, and vegetation. Many of the common variations seem to fall under one of three categories. A single-sided open shelter, often labeled a lean-to, a double-sided shelter that forms an A-frame, and rounded or cone-shaped structures that might have names like wiki-up, wigwam, or teepee. All require a greater expenditure of energy than simply finding a natural location. Something to keep in mind if you think your stay might last more than a day or so. Most will use at least one ridge pole, and other limbs as ribs for support, which are then covered with materials available at the site. It's like most things in life. The more effort you put into it, the better it will likely be. First, avoid low spots where water might collect and defeat something of the purpose for the shelter in the first place. Another thing, when possible, select a safe location. And finally, if you have to build it from natural materials, try to build near where your materials are located and near a water source if possible. Bringing this back around to why I was thinking about shelters, I fully expect to get to my cabin via truck and boat each time I go. I have never had that not be the case yet. If for some reason I were to wind up stranded and the weather be less than ideal, I have that small tent that would bail me out in a pinch. And if that action packer were to get swept out of the boat and it was just little old me, well, okay, big me, to make it to shore, I have cordage and a Leatherman in my life vest, in addition to foolproof ways to start a fire. It might not be a nice Anchorage hotel, but I'd get by, because I've thought through the idea of what shelter can be, until it got me back to my biggest shelter, my house, my home, once more. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.